Text 81. As far as if I'm right.
Yes.
81.
Or text 80 was, one day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple of Jagannath, the gatekeeper at the Singhadwara approached him and offered respectful obeisances. Tarabhadde kota krishna mora pananat, mora krishna de kubali dari tarahat. The Lord asked him, where is Krishna, my life and soul? Please show him to me. Saying this, he caught the doorkeeper's hand. Sheha kahe in hahoya rajendra nandan, aisha tumi mora sange korana darshan. The doorkeeper replied, the son of Maharaj Nanda is here. Please come along with me and I shall show you. Tumi mora sakha dekha kahan prananat, eta bali jagam mohan geli dhari tarahat. Lord Chaitanya said to the doorman, you are my friend. Please show me where the Lord of my heart is. And after the Lord said this, they both went to the place known as Jagamohan, where everyone views Lord Jagannath.
Do you ever wonder about this doorman? Lord Chaitanya says, where's this Nanda Nanda? He said, come with me. What kind of doorman is this? And he takes him to see Lord Jagannath.
I assume he would know that Jagannath is Nanda Nanda. Uh-huh. I know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by now, coming daily, repeatedly every day, and his ecstatic symptoms. Shehabali edeka shi purushottama nanetra bariyatumi karahadarashana. Just see, the doorkeeper said, here is the best of the personalities of Godhead. From here you may see the Lord to the full satisfaction of your eyes. Garudirapachirahikorinadarshan dekena jagannathaya haya murali vadan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed behind the huge column called the Garuda Stambha and looked upon Lord Jagannath. But as he looked, he saw that Lord Jagannath had become Lord Krishna with his flute to his mouth. Eilani Jagranti Raghunatha Das Goranga Stavakalpa Vrikshi Kariyachena Prakash. In his book known as Goranga Stavakalpa Vriksha, Raghunatha Das Goswami has described this incident very nicely. Kvamikanta Krishna Stvaritamihatam Lokaya Sake Tvameveti Dvaradipam Abhivadan Unmadaiva Drutam gacha drashtum priyam vititad uktena dritatat bhujantar gorangurideo dehanamam madayati. My dear friend, the doorkeeper, where is Krishna, the Lord of my heart? Kindly show him to me quickly. With these words, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the doorkeeper like a madman. The doorkeeper grasped his hand and replied very hastily, come, see your beloved. May that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise within my heart and thus make me mad also. He nakale gopala balabha boga larga ila shankaghanta adisaha arati bhajila. The offering of food known as gopa balabha boga was then given to Lord Jagannath, and arati was performed with the sound of the conch and the ringing of bells. Boga sharile jagannati rasi vakagan prasadalana prabhutani kaila agaman. When the arti finished, the prasadam was taken out and the servants of Lord Jagannath came to offer some to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now I have a question. Vrindavan temples, Gaudiya Math temples, Navadvip, other places. In arti, they most often than not don't sing. And they bang, they just make a racket. banging gongs, or even wampers.
What's the significance behind
it? Where does it come from? I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
I bet you Adi would have the answer to that one. Can we ask him?
Who?
Adi Purusha.
It's really quite amazing. It is like you get drowned out with bells and bells and dong.
You left.
And it certainly, it's there with Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas about musical accompaniment, but this is not musical accompaniment. This is like okay.
Yeah. When I try to analyze it, which I have in the past, I can't figure out how it's for the pleasure of the Lord. What is it that, I mean, but he must see something in it, but I can't figure out.
Okay. Malap. Parana prasada dila praburahati ashvatha dure rahu yaragande manahmati. The servants of Lord Jagannath first garlanded Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then offered him Lord Jagannath's prasadam. Prasadam was so nice that its aroma alone, to say nothing of its taste, could drive the mind mad. Bhavamulya prasada sevastu sarvottama. Kara alpa kaviyaiti shivaka parayatana. The prasadam was made of very valuable ingredients. Therefore, the servant wanted to feed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a portion of it. Kara alpa langa prabhu jivate yadidila arshava govindara anchala bantila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted a portion of the prasadam. Govinda took the rest and bound it in the end of his wrapper. Koti amrita svadapana prabhure chamatka sarvangi pulakane sre vahyasutha. To Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prasadam tasted millions upon millions of times better than nectar, and thus he was fully satisfied. The hair all over his body stood on end, and incessant tears flowed from his eyes. E dravita svadha kahan hoita aiva. Ara sabba govindera anchala bhandila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted a portion of the prasadam. Govinda took the rest and bound it in the end of his drajasrida wrapper. Yeah. Koti amrita svadapana prabhure chamatka. Yeah, excuse me, I went in the wrong direction. E dravya eita svadha kahan hoila aila. Krishnera adaramrita iti sancharila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered, where has such a taste in this prasadam come from? Certainly it is due to its having been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips. Buddhimahaprabhura Premaveshahaila Jagannate Rasevakadeki Sambarena Koila. Understanding this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt an emotion of ecstatic love for Krishna, but upon seeing the servants of Lord Jagannath, he restrained himself. Sukriti Labhya Pela Lava Balina Barabara Ishvara Sevakapunche Ki Artha Ihana. The Lord said again and again, only by great fortune may one come by a particle of the remnants of food offered to the Lord. The servants of the Jagannath temple inquired, what is the meaning of this? Purport. The remnants of Krishna's food are mixed with his saliva. In the Mahabharata and the Skanda Purana, it is stated, Mahaprasadam Govinde Namadamri Vaishnaveshwapa Punyavatam Rajan Vishvashwana Vajayati. Persons who are not very highly elevated in pious activities cannot believe in the remnants of food of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor in Govinda, the holy name of the Lord, nor in the Vaishnavas. Next reader.
Prabhu kahi ye dila krishna taramrita brahmani jodhava e nindaya amrita nindaya amrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, these are remnants of food that Krishna has eaten and thus turned to nectar with his lips, surpasses heavenly nectar, and even such demigods as Lord Brahma find it difficult to obtain. Krishnara ye bhukta shesha tara pela nama tare eka lava ye paya se bhagyavan. Remnants left by Krishna are called pela. Anyone who obtains even a small portion must be considered very fortunate. Samanya bhagya haite tara prapti nahi haya Krishnara yante purna kripa se taha paya. One who is only ordinarily fortunate cannot obtain such mercy. Only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants. Interesting.
Interesting. Ordinarily bhagya, ordinarily fortunate.
You know, I was going to say that you have to get the full mercy first, before you can get the remnants. We were talking about the last night about mercy, what that full mercy is. That full mercy is an ecstatic love from God.
You're talking about, what did Kalidas go from? Did he go from what to what?
Yeah.
He attained ecstatic love, but what was he before?
But here the full mercy doesn't necessarily mean that full prema, but it means the full mercy that qualifies you for getting these remnants.
Which is even higher than
Krishna.
Higher than what?
Mercy.
Different degrees of mercy.
So how merciful is mercy and more mercy?
First of all, it will be held by Bhagavatamrita.
Okay, well, so what?
Increasing degrees of mercy.
It's right. The whole Bible is about the increasing manifestation of mercy.
Yeah.
But the most merciful, the most greatest recipients of mercy are those fortunate gopis of Vrindavan. But what was the highest mercy classified as for them? Their intense love for him and separation. What else?
What is the highest mercy?
Yeah. How is it classified?
Loving separation. Krishna's becoming like a
plaything in the hands.
Plaything in the hands. Completely controlled and purchased by them. Whether he doesn't so completely come under the control of anyone else. He's under the control of the Brijbasis, but most completely under the control of Srinathya Radharani.
So So when Kalidas drank the water three times from Mahaprabhu's feet, till the point where, in private, Mahaprabhu bestowed mercy upon him, and with, how did the process go from point A to point B?
Well, we hear it mentioned at the reception, as he receives the remnants, when Lord Chaitanya gives him the remnants. That's why I say he gave his remnants, and that's why he got his full mercy. So the phrase full mercy is used in different ways, because you can only get the Mahaprasadam by full mercy, but now he had full mercy to get the prasadam, and then he got another full mercy that, as a through the agency or along with.
Seems to me there's full, fuller, and most full.
So you're seeing process there rather than literary embellishment that Kaviraja Goswami is. You know, how do you say?
Just that it was, the gesture was mercy.
Wow, sometimes as devotees, so, wow, that was mercy. Wow, that was ecstatic. It was just, Kaviraj Goswami, could, maybe he's being ecstatic. He's waxing, you know. Just, wow, he first ate all the remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, and then he drank what no one else could do. He drank water not once, but three times from Mahaprabhu's feet. And then he got the remnants from his plate. And where does it start and where does it stop?
Well, we'd have to go back to the verse. You could look back at the verse, but what stuck in my mind when I read it was that there was thus, with that act, he got Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's full mercy. That it wasn't just some alliteration, but that there was actually a phenomena taking place. Was he taking all of those things for a purpose, or was he just doing it out of his natural Vaishnav humility and desire? In other words, is he thinking, if I if I take these things, then by the agency of these things, I will attain perfection.
Rather than just being simple-hearted and just...
just doing it.
Yeah, just getting all that he can.
Let's get the mercy.
Right. Seems to be worshipping. Of course, this worship, not a reverence.
I don't remember his name listed in any of the Gorganadesh or this other one.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, you still have that little booklet of mine.
Yeah, I do.
I can't remember.
Show you what?
You know, was that... is that as far as we go?
Yeah. How much emphasis... sometimes... I don't know who did these translations. Parts of a lot of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada had his staff do translations, and he would look over it afterwards.
Oh, so the actual translations.
Right. I don't know how much we should, that the translations are precise in that way, that they turn a corner. Thus, it is like this, and that. Maybe not. I don't know. Prabhupada certainly read the translations. He read them over. But a lot of the translations in were done by the Sanskritists.
Who was Jagannath Sutta?
Jagannath Das.
Jagannath Das.
Wasn't Jai Satchinanda involved in those?
No, he was just a asleep at that time.
Duryodhana Guru?
No. They were just proofreaders. Nitai of Jagannath.
Was Santosha involved?
No, he was also an editor. Would have been Gopi Prendana, it would have been Nitai Pradumna Jagannath Das. I don't, not even Jagannath Das, it would probably be between Nitai and Pradumna. I like to have to ask Jayadwaita Maharaj how much, who did what of the translations.
For the Bengali?
Yes. Certainly some of them were done by him. But certainly Prabhupada left over it all.
He read it all?
Yes.
He read. You're saying he did the translation and Prabhupada proofread it?
Checked over.
I always thought Prabhupada did all the translations.
I just died reading or I just mentioned that. Because I came after the translations of Chaitanya Charitamrita were done. But I just heard Jayadwaita say it. But I guess it's not a well-known fact that some of the translations were done by the staff.
Huh?
I'll ask him again which who did what.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, Prabhupada, anyone can translate. But my purports of my devotional ecstasies.
Point.
Sukriti Shante Kahe Krishna Kripa Hetu Punya Sei Anga Haya Pela Paya Se Dhanya. The word Sukriti refers to pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna. One who is fortunate enough to obtain such mercy receives the remnants of the Lord's food and thus becomes glorious.
So the ordinary fortune means mundane pious activities, yoga, karma, gyan, etc. And I take it that this type of fortune is full is bhakti, devotional activity, or are we talking about some lower level of
Sukriti?
No, in the previous verse, and now Sukriti is going to refer to actually pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna as bhakti.
That's bhakti, yeah.
So that's what full mercy above means, bhakti. And ordinary fortune refers to all other types of piety, non-devotional activities. Bhaktya Sanjayate Bhaktya.
I was just thinking of that explanation Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives for different types of Sukriti. Bhogan Mukhi Sukriti, Moksha Mukhi Sukriti,
yeah.
And Bhaktu Mukhi Sukriti.
That's right. With piety, I don't know if it even exists in modern linguistic usage. Sounds like something archaic, going back to Victorian and pre-Victorian times. People pious, let's be pious. Pope pious.
Itabali Prabhuta Sabhara Vidayanila Upala Boga Nikiya Prabhu Nichavasa Ayala. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the servants. After seeing the next offering of food to Lord Jagannath, a function known as Upalabhoga, he returned to his own quarters. Madhyanha kariya kaila bhikshanirvana Krishna dharamrita sada antare smarana. After finishing his noon duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate his lunch, but he constantly remembered the remnants of Krishna's food. Bhaya kitcha karina preme gora garamana kaste sambarana karina avisha sangana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his external activities, but his mind was filled with ecstatic love. With great difficulty, he tried to restrain his mind, but it would always be overwhelmed by very deep ecstasy. Sanjya kritya kari puna nijagana sange nibhitte vasila nana krishna katarange. After finishing his evening duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates in a secluded place. How many times a day did Lord Chaitanya engage in his duties? Evening duties, noon duties,
morning
duties, taking shower. Is that what it refers
to? Yeah, I was assuming that was the case.
Yeah, because there's reference morning duties, noon duties, evening duties.
Ablutions.
It goes along what we were discussing. About culture and Vaishnava behavior. You know, think of it as a cultural, to take bath 3 times a day, cultural, duty to take bath 3 times a day, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pays 3 minimum 3 times a day.
What to speak of Krishna? Spends half his time in water.
They would say, though, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's appearing, his Naralila is within Orissa, where it's blazing hot, and the ocean is there. And
so circumstantially, taking three times.
He's expressing his supremacy within those circumstances.
So, it's still a cultural influence on his Naralila.
He's demonstrating how to be a sannyasi in those circumstances.
When I was in Winnipeg, one of the coolest places.
Did you take that 3 times?
And Prabhupada wrote me a letter giving second initiation to the devotees. He said they should take bath 3 times a day. Morning, middle, and night.
After finishing his evening duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates in a secluded place and discussed the pastimes of Krishna in great jubilation. Prabhurda ingate govinda prasada anila Puri Bhara Tire Prabhu Kichupata Ila. Following the indications of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda brought the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. The Lord sent some to Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati. Ramananda Sarvabhama Swarupadigane Sabhari Prasada Dila Kariya Bhattari.
Now, Paramananda Puri is Uddhava. Uddhava is in a...
Paramananda Bharati.
Huh?
Paramananda Bharati.
Paramananda Puri.
Oh, Paramananda Puri.
Uddhava's relationship, his cousin, advisor, sort of servitude, and mixed with servitude, friendship, not friendship on the level of equality. Now he's in this position where he has more like a paternal relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it certainly doesn't come off like that in Krishna Leela, that Uddhava has that type of relationship. So how is that? In other words, how is it that the rasa changes from Krishna Leela to Gaur Leela? It seems to change. It's a very, Krishna with Uddhava was very, very intimate. Like we were reading yesterday, when they came up, immediately Lord Chaitanya came out of his ecstasy just because of their seniority. And so the question is, how is it that the rasa seems to be different?
I wondered about that, because for some in Krishna Leela, in Gaur Leela, it's like a one-to-one correspondence, like Sachi Mata, Jagannath Misha. Whereas for others, it can be a bit different.
What to speak of, so many other manjaris, but do they show such inclinations in Gaur Leela? Well, so many of the Goswamis were manjaris in Krishna Leela, but there's no manifestation of Madhuri Ras in Gaur Leela. I really don't understand your question.
Good point. We were reading last time how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that in Gaur Leela, these other leelas these other relationships are there, are present. Everyone sort of is in the general mood of servitude. But yet, in terms of how they relate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least internally, seems to be consistent with the relationship with Krishna Leela. They're different bodies. They have male bodies, but anyway, maybe it's not. It's a good point. Any thoughts?
I just accepted it as accepted these as inconceivable arrangement of the Leela. Sometimes it seems it's one-to-one correspondence with direct correspondence with Krishna Leela. Sometimes a bit hidden. Sometimes a little bit different.
Do you accept it that Yogamaya does the scripting here? Because they're eternal relationships also.
Yes. There's Gaur Leela, there's Krishna Leela existing side by side. They have their places in Krishna Loka. And
definitely Yogamaya's scripting. It's painted by Vrindavan Das Thakur, so many references to how Yogamaya was keeping everybody from recognizing Nimai, his childhood, from his actual identity. And so many of Nimai's childhood pastimes were completely were scripted in total similarity to Krishna's childhood pastimes, to mischievous behavior. So definitely, Yoga Maya is manifested. How did she manifest? Yoga Maya appeared, though. That's interesting. Yoga Maya appeared in order to facilitate the appearance of Krishna. But in what form did she appear in Kauralila?
Oh, just reading that in that little book.
It was there.
Yes, she's there as I can. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. She's there in Kauralila.
She is there in Kauralila.
Yeah. The orchestrator of the pastimes in Krishna Lila is there in Kauralila. It's there in that little book.
I couldn't remember. Not Chandrasekhar.
Maybe, I just can't remember.
Okay, let's go on.
What I do remember that I was surprised at it. Her role in Kauralila is not like quarterbacking like in Krishna Lila, or someone like Chandrasekhar or someone.
Oh, really?
Yes. Someone you would think is not playing a pivotal role in orchestrating.
Oh, really? Quarterbacking. Calls all the shots. It's the first time I've heard Yoga Maya. That's a good one. I like it. Okay. Ramananda Sarvabhama Swarupadi Gani Sabhari Prasada Dilakari Avantani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave shares of the prasada to Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhama Chaya, Srupa Damodara Goswami, and all the other devotees, shares of what he received from the Upalabhoga offering. Shares of what he received from the Upalabhoga offering.
It's eating time.
That's bingham, that special prasadam. Very good.
Prasadira, so, just saying. Anyways, prasadira. Sarabhya Madhurya Kari Ashvadana Alokika Ashvaday Savarami Smita Hailamana. As they tasted the uncommon sweetness and fragrance of the prasada, everyone's mind was struck with wonder. Prabhu Kahi Ei Sabha Haya Prakrita Dravya Aiksha Vaka Pura Maricha Ilaicha Lavanga Gavya Rasavasa Gudatvaka Adi Yata Sabha Prakritava Sturda Svada Savara Anubhava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said these ingredients, such as sugar, camphor, black pepper, cardamom, cloves, butter, spices, and licorice, are all material. Everyone has tasted these material substances before. Purport. The word prakrita refers to things tasted for the sense gratification of the conditioned soul. Such things are limited by the material laws. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make the point that material things have already been experienced by materially absorbed persons who are interested only in sense gratification.
Say yoga eta asvad ganda loka tita asvada kariya deka sabar pratita. However, the Lord continued, in these ingredients there are extraordinary tastes and uncommon fragrances. Just taste them and see the difference in the experience. Asvada dure rahu ya gande mate mana apana bina anya madhurya karaya vismarana. Apart from the taste, even the fragrance pleases the mind. Makes one forget any other sweetness besides its own. Tate Dravye Krishna Dada Sparsha Hoyla Adarera Guna Sava Ihate Sancharila. Therefore it is to be understood that the spiritual nectar of Krishna's lips has touched these ordinary ingredients and transferred to them all their spiritual qualities. Purport. Since everyone had previously tasted these ingredients, why had they become extraordinary and spiritually delicious? This was proof that food, prasadam, becomes uncommonly flavorful and delicious by touching Krishna's lips. Alokika Gandhaswara Anya Vismaran Mahamalika Hoy E Krishna Dina Guna E Krishna Dina Guna. A fragrance and taste that are uncommon and greatly enchanting, and that make one forget all other experiences, are attributes of Krishna's lips. Aneka sukrita iha hayache samprapti sabe asvada kora kori mahabhakti. This prasadam has been made available only as a result of many pious activities. Now taste it with great faith and devotion. So what kind of pious activities are we talking about here? Sukriti.
Bhakti.
Hari dvani kori sabe kaila asvadana asvadite prema matta haila sabama. Loudly chanting the holy name of Hari, all of them tasted the prasad. As they tasted it, their minds became mad in the ecstasy of love. Premaveshi Mahaprabhu Yabe Agyanila Ramananda Rai Shloka Parite Lagila. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite some verses. Thus Ramananda Roy spoke as follows. Surata Varnam Shoka Nashanam Swalita Vendina Sustuchumbitam Itadaraga Vismaranam Ninam Vitada Vira Naste Dharam Ritam. O hero of charity, please deliver unto us the nectar of your lips. That nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in the material world. Kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute. For that nectar makes all human beings forget all other attachments. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. Shloka Shuni Mahaprabhu Mahatrishta Hoyla Radha Utkanta Shloka Padite Lagila. Upon hearing Ramananda Roy quote this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Then he recited the following verse, which had been spoken by Srimati Radharani in great anxiety. Rajatula Kulanga Netra Rasali Trishnahara Pradivya Adaramrita Sukriti Lavya Bela Lava Sudajit Ahivalika Sudala Vitika Charvita Same Madana Mohana Saki Tanota Jivas Briham. My dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be obtained only after many, many pious activities. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, that nectar vanquishes the desire for all other tastes. Madana Mohan always chews pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue. This verse is found in Gopinda Lamrita. So what kind of pious activity is he talking about here? So like Pitta Punya Punja? A way of referring to how rare and special is the achievement?
Yeah, it's a generic statement.
It's definitely no reference to any mundane pious activities, that's for sure.
Amongst the Nitya Siddha Gopis, but amongst the sadhakas, they performed Pritha Punya Punja. They performed many pious activities.
Yes,
devotional activities to finally come to that stage. Some of the cowherd boys still. And
so what are those pious activities?
Bhakti.
I know, but
they did sadhana bhakti.
Sadhana.
Then they got the association of Siddha Bhaktas. And by the grace of the Siddha Bhaktas, then they were able to actually get Krishna's association directly.
We're talking about those cowherd boys who were Kripa Siddhas or Sadhana Siddhas.
Sadhana Siddhas, Kripa Siddhas. We don't hear so much about the cowherd boys as do about the gopis.
Yeah, they do about the gopis, you know. But that verse creates a point.
You wouldn't say it's...
Specifically about the cowherd boys.
You wouldn't say it's Shukadeva Goswami just saying, like, how many billions of dollars would it take to, like, an explanation of showing how special the status is?
Well, if you want to take it in a generic sense, then yes. It's just an exclamation. If you want to lump all the cowherd boys, all the gopis in, then here also, after many, many pious activities, just...
So it's not like it's the lingua franca of a normal human civilization. The currency is pious activities, punya. So when you want to refer to something that's this outlandish, like how many billions of dollars and how many pious activities would it take to...
That would be one way. Mm-hmm. And just an expression of wonder and ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Sanatana Goswami said, well, that's one way of taking it. Another way of taking it is this refers to this class of devotees or this class of cowherd boys, because the other class, they're beyond, they're always have Krishna's association.
So you're saying Sanatana Goswami, when talking about that verse cowherd boys?
I'm just saying in general, that he and Vishwanath, and they give different alternatives as to how to understand that. I forgot. Oops, started to weigh in.
I was thinking that if I ever want good arguments, the importance of honoring only Krishna Prasad, his verses are really powerful. Really powerful.
So Prabhupada says, let's die eating prasadam.
it's amazing, all these references here. You know, you really get the full impact of what it means to get Krishna's prasadam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting food that's touched his lips. And then there's the gopis.
He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue.
That's right.
We had, at least I know when we joined, we had a real appreciation for prasadam. You know, never leave remnants. Something falls on the floor, you eat it. I'm just saying in general, aside from just that we were so desperate.
Yeah, it was a reverence.
And everything got offered.
That's right.
Everything was beside him.
Yeah, there's no such thing as having, some deities in the kitchen for offerings that don't go to the deities.
Yes, a picture or even maybe not that.
Although I do remember that it was Krishna's garbage. It was frequent, made its frequent appearance sometimes. Krishna's garbage was something that was made that looped and couldn't offer to the deities. And it was just accepted as Krishna's garbage.
Yeah,
because it couldn't be offered like some cake that didn't rise or something like that.
There was a sense of enchantment about everything.
Sure was. I'll never forget the first time I stepped on Gopi Vallabha's altar. I was blown away. Those were the feelings I was having at the installation of Ramana. They came back. Because I don't do it. That TV saved us so much. I haven't done it since 1975.
Been on the altar?
I was out of book distribution, then I was the bot, the leader, I just didn't do much DDC, but that installation, it was like it's the dog that came back again, that enchanting experience.
But general enchantment, I put that down to Prabhupada's presence, isn't it?
Yes, he surcharged everything.
His physical presence made us tune into him, I think, in a better way. And just that his shakti came through to other devotees, and enchantment was very, very nice for everything. It was enchanting. Kirtan was enchanting, and prasadam was enchanting, and devis and everything was an adventure. And especially kirtan. So. Good kirtan, still enchanting.
We didn't use harmonium so much back then either. We didn't use harmonium so much back then either.
Didn't use harmonium. Well, when I was a Guru Mishloka, had a organ, the sitting organ, would lead Sunday feast kirtan from that organ.
What was that one? That in Avenue Road Church?
No. In Avenue Road Church, yeah.
Church organ?
Church, it was a bowling alley.
Oh. It was a church
Park
organ.
Avenue.
Oh, Park Avenue.
It was a church organ or
not that, not that big. It was, I can't remember whether it was electric. I don't think they had electric things. It was some kind, maybe it was a pump, but it was, you had to sit down to it, and it was tall like that, and it was in the temple room. He had great kirtans.
Want to continue? You're reading.
Was it my turn so soon? I was reading when you went to the bath.
Oh, you were? I thought you were still reading.
Who's reading?
Who's reading right now?
Oh,
I thought you were. I thought you were still reading.
Eta kohi kula prabhu bhama vishna haya. Dvi shlokya arta kohi pralapa kladiya. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic, loving emotions. Talking like a madman, he began to explain the meaning of the two verses. Tani mana karaya chobha badaya surata lobha harsha shokari bhar vinashoy pasaraya anya rasa jagat kore atma vas laja dharma dharya kore choy nagara shuna tamar adara chalita mataya nadira mana jiva kore akarshana vicharite sabha viparita. My dear lover, Sri Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, let me describe some of the characteristics of your transcendental lips. They agitate the mind and body of everyone. They increase lusty desires for enjoyment. They destroy the burden of material happiness and lamentation. And they make one forget all material tastes. The whole world falls under their control. They vanquish shame, religions, and patience, especially in women. Indeed, they inspire madness in the minds of all women. Your lips increase the greed of the tongue and thus attract it. Considering all this, we see that the activities of your transcendental lips are always paradoxical. Achuka nadira kai kohite vasiye laja. Tomara ajara bada jistarai. Purishe kore akarshana. Apana piyaite mana. Anyarasa sabha pasaraya. My dear Krishna, since you are a male, it is not very extraordinary that the attraction of your lips can disturb the minds of women. But I am ashamed to say that your impudent lips sometimes attract even your flute, which is also considered a male. It likes to drink the nectar of your lips, and thus it also forgets all other tastes.
Well, here it seems like the same gender relationship is the cause of shame.
I never knew flute was always was considered to be male.
Yeah. Comes up many places. This cause of embarrassment.
The mother is what, Jamuna, and the father is the
reeds, bamboo reeds. Sachetana Rahuturi, Achetana, Sachetana Kare, Tomara Adara, Bodha Pajikara, Tomaro Venu Shushkindana, Tara Janmaya Indriyamana, Tara Apana Piyaya Nirantara. Aside from conscious living beings, even unconscious matter is sometimes made conscious by your lips. Therefore, your lips are great magicians. Paradoxically, although your flute is nothing but dry wood, your lips constantly make it drink their nectar. They create a mind and senses in the dry wooden flute and give it transcendental bliss.
This is Lord Chaitanya's explanation of those two verses.
Vena drishta purusha hana purusha dhara piya piya gopi gane janayani japan Ahushuna Gopigam, Balipino Tomaratam, Tomarayaditaki Abhimam. That flute is a very cunning male who drinks again and again the taste of another male's lips. It advertises its qualities and says to the gopis, O gopis, if you're so proud of being women, come forward and enjoy your property, the nectar of the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tabe mora kola kari, lajubhaya dharma chadi. Chari vimukara ashipan naipina nirantara tomayamora nabhikadara anyedekon trinirasana. Thereupon, the flute said angrily to me, give up your shame. fear and religion and come drink the lips of Krishna. On that condition, I shall give up my attachment for them. If you do not give up your shame and fear, however, I shall continuously drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. I'm slightly fearful because you also have the right to that nectar, but as for others, I consider them like straw. Adaramitanijaswari sancharya sevali akarshrayati jagatajan amaradharma bhaya khari rahi jari dhari adhari tabiyamayakara vidambam. The nectar of Krishna's lips combined with the vibration of his flute attracts all the people of the three worlds. But if we gopis remain patient out of respect for religious principles, the flute then criticizes us. Nidhi Khoshaya Guru Agila Jadharma Koraya Tyagi Keshi Darilana Dhyanalanya Hayaya Anikoraya Tumaradasi Shunmiloka Karehasi E Matam Narire Nochoye. The nectar of your lips and the vibration of your flute join together to loosen our belts and induce us to give up shame and religion even before our superiors. As if catching us by our hair, they forcibly take us away and deliver us unto you to become your maidservants. Hearing of these incidents, people laugh at us. We have thus become completely subordinate to the flute. Shushkabanshire latikhan etakara apaman edashakari lagokshani Na shahiki karite pare tahirahi maumadari churarama ke dhaki kandite nahi. This flute is nothing but a dry stick of bamboo, but it becomes our master and insults us in so many ways that it forces us into a predicament. What can we do but tolerate it? The mother of a thief cannot cry loud before justice when the thief is punished. Therefore, we simply remain silent. Adarera eriti, arashuna kuniti, se adarashani aramila, se baksha bhujapan hari amrita samam, namataraya krishna pila. Such is the policy of these lips. Just consider some other injustices. Everything that touches those lips, including food, drink, or betel, becomes just like nectar. It is then called krishna pila, or remnants left by Krishna. Se pilare kolava na paya devatasava e dambe keva patiyaya pahujanma punya kare tabe sukriti nama dhari se sukriti taravapapaya. Even after much prayer, the demigods themselves cannot obtain even a small portion of the remnants of such food. Just imagine the pride of those remnants. Only a person who's acted piously for many, many births has thus become a devotee, and has thus become a devotee, can obtain the remnants of such food. Someone else needs to read. I need to paste a little.
Need to what?
Paste.
Oh, paste. But there's a taste a little. Krishna ye kaya tambula kahitara nahi mula tahi aradhamba paripati tara yeva urkara tarikaya amitasara gopira mukhakari halapati. The betel chewed by Krishna is priceless, and the remnants of such chewed betel from his mouth are said to be the essence of nectar. When the gopis accept these remnants, their mouths become his spittoons. E sabha tumara kutunati chada e paripati venu dhvare kana kane hara prana apangara hasi lagi naha nariyala vada bhagi deha nija dara mamita dana. Therefore, my dear Krishna, please give up all the tricks you have set up so expertly. Do not try to kill the life of the gopis. because the vibration of your food, with the vibration of your food, because of your joking and laughing, you are becoming responsible for the killing of women. It would be better for us, it would be better for you to satisfy us by giving us charity and the nectar of your lips. Kahite kahite pravura mana pira gela, krodha angsa shanta haila utkanta badila. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking like this, his mind changed, his anger subsided, but his mental agitation increased. Paramadurlaba e Krishna dharamamita, taha ye paya tarasapala jivita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, this nectar from Krishna's lips is supremely difficult to obtain, but if one gets some, his life becomes successful. Yogya hanakeha harite karite na payapana tatapi se nirlaja vrita dharipana. When a person competent to drink that nectar does not do so, that shameless person continues his life uselessly. Ayogya haina taha keha sada panakai yogya jana nahi paya lobhe matramare. There are persons who are unfit to drink that nectar, but who nevertheless drink it continuously, whereas some who are suitable never get it and thus die of greed. Tate jani kona tapasyara ache bhala ayogyara deo yaya Krishna dharamrita pala. It is therefore to be understood that such an unfit person must have obtained the nectar of Krishna's lips on the strength of some austerity. I'm just trying to follow the logic here.
What verse?
Huh?
What's the number?
139. 138. Person competent to drink that doesn't do so, that shameless person continues his life uselessly. There are persons who are unfit to drink, but nevertheless drink, where some who are suitable never get it unless they agree. It's therefore to be understood that such an unfit person must have obtained the nectar of Krishna's lips on the strength of some austerity. Why is that the conclusion? Could somebody help me?
There are some persons who are unfit to drink the nectar, but who nevertheless drink it. Whereas some who are suitable never get it and thus die of greed. It is therefore understood that such an unfit person, on the strength of some austerity.
He must have done something.
Yeah, he's not. He's unfit, but still he did something. He's, by his conduct at present, he may be unfit, like flute. What's he done? He just grew on the bank of a river, so really unfit. Plus he sort of flaunts the gopis, but still he must have done something then in the past to get that position.
So there must have been some austerity.
Somewhere.
Because he didn't get it from mercy.
No, austerity, here it all means the same thing. Ultimately, that austerity means he did some bhakti is the only way you get it. But they'll use different words, piety, austerity, etc.
Yeah, I always thought those words, piety, austerity, again, were like the lingua franca of, you know, the real civilization. That's what you attribute things to. He must have had some money, or he must have had some connections. He must have had some austerity, he must have had some pious activities.
Hey, just, I guess it's just a way of, you have to use some words to, you know, to strengthen you.
And it also sometimes, which was what Shastra does, it hides the glories of bhakti. You have to be qualified to understand what it's saying.
Kaha Rama Raya Kichu Shunite Vayamana Bhava Jani Pari Raya Opi Rabachana. Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, please say something I want to hear. Understanding the situation, Ramananda Roy recited the following words of the gopis. Gopyakyam acharad ayam kushalam sma venur damodarar darana shunam api gopikananam punkte svayam yad avashishta yasam radanyo vishyat vachoshu umuchus talavo yataraya. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. Report this first quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's part of a discussion gopis had among themselves since the autumn season began in Vrindavan. Lord Krishna was tending the cows and blowing on his flute. The gopis then began to praise Krishna and discuss the fortunate position of his flute. Ei sloka shuni prabhu bhava vishtahaya utkanta te arta kare pralapa kariya. Upon hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in ecstatic love, and with a greatly agitated mind, he began to explain its meaning like a madman. Eho Vrajendra Nandana Kwajira Kona Kanyagana Avashakari Vaparinaya Se Sambande Gopigana Yayamani Nijadana Se Suda Anyara Lavanaya Lavyanaya. Some gopis said to other gopis, just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, the son of Rajendra. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property, cannot be enjoyed by anyone else. Gopi gana kaha sabha kariya vichari kon tirtha kon tapa kon siddha mantra japa evenu kaila janmantare. My dear gopis, fully consider how many pious activities this flute performed in his past life. We do not know what places of pilgrimage he visited, what austerities he performed, or what perfect mantra he chanted. Hena Krishnan Tara Hina Krishna Dhara Suda Yan E Kaya Amrita Buddha Yari Asaya Gopi Dhara Prana E Venu Ayogya Ati Stavana Purusha Jati Se Suda Sada Kari Pana. This flute is utterly unfit because it is merely a dead bamboo stick. Moreover, it belongs to the male sex, yet this flute is always drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips, which surpasses nectarian sweetness of every description. Only by hoping for that nectar do the gopis continue to live.
Is anyone? Oh, I was just going to ask if there's anyone here who gives massage, but I just crossed my mind. I know someone who does.
I've been looking for the same. I'm trying to find somebody else. I need it really badly, but I want to find somebody who knows what they're doing.
I have someone coming, but he claims he's from Siberia, a young guy. He claims to have been the masseuse of the Russian national wrestling team, but in grade C.
I had this one devotee who was coming over. To, I remember what his name is. I'll look it up. Nice one. Let's forget his name. I don't know, I'm going to look it up.
Larry?
Okay, I was just remarking here. Again, we have, my dear gopis, fully consider how many pious activities this flute performed in his past life. We do not know what places of pilgrimage he visited, what austerities he performed, what perfect mantra he chanted.
It's ecstasy. In ecstasy, people say so many things, and devotees, the Lord says many things that are overwhelmed by emotion.
And so how do you, what do you refer, what are the reference points, I think, Ranjan Maharaj is saying that these are the, how great is that? So the equivalent of saying how great is that is how many austerities, how many pious activities, how far out is that? How ecstatic is that? How, you have to have some, some way of conveying that. And this is Nara Leela, so there.
They're conveying it according to.
Yeah.
Well, he introduced, he said he was speaking like a madman overrun by ecstasy.
What about this here? Some gopis said to other gopis, just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, the son of Rajendra. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore, the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else.
Which verse is that?
142.
142.
Well, he married them, Jiva Goswami describes.
Are they referring to that, or are they referring to the spirit of the marriage? Were some of them already married at that time?
I'm expressing their desire to marry. At least those who are saying that. I mean, and even if they are married, and they're so overwhelmed by ecstasy, they'll only think that they're married, because they don't have any connection or thought about husbands anyway. So even if they're technically married, they think themselves are married.
So how do they get their certainty? Therefore, the gopis know for certain
they're going to get married.
That the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else.
How do they know this is the absolute property?
I thought not so.
You're looking at 145?
142.
How do the gopis get the conviction that he will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan?
I can only refer to just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna. By the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, they get this conviction, he'll certainly marry them all. And therefore, based on all the above, they know for certain.
Well, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was starting upon hearing recitation of this verse, Lord Chaitanya became absorbed in ecstatic love.
Speaking like a man.
No, but he said, some gopis said to other gopis. So some gopis who are aspiring after marrying Krishna, like for instance, the little gopis, the Kumaris, you know, they did their Katyayani Vrata to marry Krishna. So he will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. But it brings up an interesting thing which came to me in that little book. He was citing that such and such Manjari is, I think he said, Aniruddha. And he quotes Govinda Lilamrita when there's this discussion going on, this argument, debate, I think it was at the theft of the flute, as to who's who, and so it's very allegorical, but he's taken it completely literally. Kavya Vishwanath, if it's to be taken that he spoke that, so in other words, he's saying, yes, there's actually Aniruddha, but it was just like an allegorical statement, just like saying that, you know, Srimati Radharani is a moon in the sky, and he's taken it literally that actually she's not. I'm just giving that as an example. But that's how he's identifying the identity of gopis based on that sort of quarrel that's going on. Very far out.
The author, that's how. He's establishing
that little book. Yeah, he quotes it.
That's his reference.
He quotes it.
How much should we accept it?
It's like one of those things, Yadvatva, you can take it like this, or you can take it like that.
I found this interesting section in Chaitanya Bhagavat with purport by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. The quarrels, this is the verse, the quarrels between Vaishnavas that one sees are not to be taken seriously, for they are pastimes in relationship to Krishna. Purport.
I know the purport well.
When foolish people see Vaishnavas quarrel, they think that quarreling is like that of non-devotees, but this is not the case. Rather, such quarreling increases their love for Krishna. The love for Krishna that Rukmini and Satyabhama amass, while competitively reproaching each other, is enhanced by such quarreling and competition.
Is the Shivananda's nephew?
Who's that?
This is about Shivananda's nephew at the end of Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he goes to complain.
It's a section about blaspheming Vaishnavas.
Okay.
Therefore, by creating quarrels and differences of opinion among Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Dev has established the ideal of quarrels in this world.
Well, we're doing pretty good.
Next text. Although Satyabhama and Rukmini abuse each other and appear as opponents, they have a common spiritual goal. Similarly, there are no differences between one Vaishnava and another. Differences are created by Lord Chaitanya for his pastimes. Next. Therefore, if one takes the side of one Vaishnava and blasphemes another, he is doomed. So how do you apply that?
Something I've thought of many times.
I've quoted it.
I know. How do you apply it?
How do I apply it? Well, I usually qualify the standard of behavior of a Vaishnava. So, Vaishnavas whose standard of behavior is exemplary in terms of the qualities of humility, the qualities of you know, Trinada Pisa Nichina, all the qualities which Lord Chaitanya himself expects from those to be manifest in those who are fully taking shelter of the holy name. Such persons, if we see them quarreling, then we should understand it to be a pastime. But if we don't see in the general behavior of such persons a manifestation of such qualities, we should assume the sinfulness of the modes of material nature. And Prabhupada even speaks about that in that famous verse from the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, the Prachetas. It says there is no disunity in Krishna consciousness. It says still sometimes we see in a society of Vaishnavas there is disunity, but he says that when such disunity exists, it's not because of Krishna consciousness. His disunity is manifest because there is some influence of material leaning. That's what he says, material leaning. So, it's due to the material leaning. So, that's how I qualify it, that, yes, for those whose behavior, standard behavior, is that of a Vaishnava. And if we see two such Vaishnavas who have such qualities quarreling, we should understand that their quarrel is transcendental, and we should be very careful to not take sides of one over the other. But generally, we don't see such qualities.
Is here the example of Satyabhama and Rukmini. Okay, there's no argument that they're Vaishnavas, or what kind of Vaishnavas they are.
Yeah. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta specifically uses their examples as reference to how it should be applied.
Therefore, by creating quarrels and differences of opinion among Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Deva has established the ideal of quarrels in this world.
Yeah, it almost seems like, you know, he's giving everybody free rein to provoke quarrel.
Well, I would think he's doing it if you're on that platform.
Yeah. It depends how you take it.
And one thing is quarreling, the other is, what about the subject or topic of disagreement? In other words, there is such thing as right and wrong, siddhanta, misunderstandings, and so on. And Prabhupada certainly straightened people out when there were arguments, if someone was wrong and someone was right.
What was that famous story where Prabhupada confirmed that both were right? It's about Balaram and Vrindavan. Oh, that's a famous story. With Yamuna was involved on one side, and who was on the other side? You could have an argument. The Prabhupada said, yes, you were right. And he said to the other man, you were right.
But a lot of other times he'd say, you're wrong, you're right. But this is wrong and that's right. Purpose, certainly, generally we could say, like you said, quality devotee doesn't have to be on the level of Rukmini and Satyabhama, that their purpose is to please Krishna, to please Prabhupada, so therefore it's not ordinary, and that's the real standard of quarrel. Don't quarrel about sense gratification, quarrel about what's pleasing to Krishna. But then there are things that are pleasing and not pleasing, and there are things that are more pleasing. So you can't just leave issues aside just because you say, well, all right, they're all trying to please Krishna. To criticize them is one thing, but to actually resolve an issue is something else.
Also, to obstruct their service. Prabhupada very clearly speaks about that in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, that everyone should appreciate the service of another Vaishnava. It's just this competition in the spiritual world. But although there's competition in the spiritual world, nobody ever tries to obstruct the service of another in such competition. This is the way of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world.
And also he would say, and it's stated in Brihad Bhagavatam, that if someone's doing something nicely, you think, let me help the person do something even nicer. Rather than let me obstruct the person.
I mean, the gopis in their different camps do try to obstruct each other.
Yes, but that's for Krishna's pleasure, exclusive.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're not thinking like it's for Krishna's pleasure.
I know, but, well, the yoga mind just arranges it because she knows how to.
So this is sort of going on.
They don't have a clue that Krishna likes it?
They're thinking that they can please Krishna better.
But they don't have a clue that Krishna likes the bickering? And not a clue?
Really?
Well, not a clue. They know everything. But that's not in the forefront of their consciousness.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they must get some kind of... Yeah. I would think they must get some kind of...
It's like an...
Yeah, indications.
Well, they know Krishna's God also, but it's not in the forefront of their consciousness.
Who knows Krishna's God?
Everybody in Vrindavan. But they're not thinking about it.
How do they know it? I thought that this Gyanas Sunyabhakti means they have completely no knowledge of Krishna's divinity.
But they're sorry, they know everything also.
Even when they see Krishna.
So they're both Mukta and
yeah.
Simultaneous?
It's completely subdued by their love. But they're not in ignorance about anything.
Sort of like that example that Govinda Maharaj gives about straw and boiling milk sometimes comes to the surface.
Yeah. Rice.
And they might make a statement to speak about Krishna's divinity, but it just gets completely.
Yeah. He may be God, but it's not.
What difference
is it? It's not the issue. It's just.
But they don't dwell on it.
They don't dwell on it.
It doesn't stick.
No, it's not their relationship, therefore it doesn't stick. But they're aware.
They were suspicious of.
Well, with that level of devotees, this is clear, but this point about how do you deal with, because you throw that out in a disagreement, well, all right, we're disagreeing, it's pleasing to Krishna, and therefore both types of conduct can go on, I don't know, it can be bringing up some controversial issues, don't they require resolution?
But they're not resolved.
Huh? Yeah, they're not resolved.
They're not resolved.
Just like I was watching.
If they were resolved, there would be a decrease of Krishna's pleasure.
There would be a what?
A decrease of Krishna's pleasure.
I was watching YouTube last night, you brought up some Org Dave situation, and then Ranjan Maharaj says, very respectfully, and I disagree.
I just said that's where you and I disagree.
But that's you and I disagree, but that doesn't mean there aren't either with that or other things where Prabhupada say, no, it has to be like this, and there's a resolution. Because that then becomes impersonal, and everything, it's yatamat tatapak, whatever you think is fine. And any devotees can argue about anything. We don't have to resolve any issues at all. Prabhupada wanted us to find the unity in the diversity also.
Could it be that sometimes the unity would have to be about letting it be because certain things can't be reconciled?
Origin of the jiva. Because Prabhupada said both.
That's why I think once this poison thing dies down on the conference, I think I'll post this article about the Catholic Church, because point for point it looked like it gave a good mirror for what we go through. I don't know if they're going to be able to resolve it. They're going to have to still keep their unity, which they're expert in doing, at least on a superficial level. They're expert in keeping their unity.
Because they don't want to immediately, we got this thing, we've got to immediately resolve something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes resolution takes time. And because time's a certain factor that makes things happen. We try to accelerate it, sort of pushing time out of the picture without necessarily having absolute realization.
So we like to tackle things and tie them down really quick, even though there's neither full agreement nor full deliberation.
That's not the status quo. People don't want, we want everything spelled out so that everybody's accountable. Everybody knows knows their place. And everybody's got to know what their place is so that they can make sure, it's like, that's what I feel like this branch trying to establish. But I think some things are better left unspoken.
Who knows? Origin of the deep abyss left unspoken. But that's some things, and then there's other things that need to be dealt with. Even though different Vaishnavas may have different opinions. I don't know where he read that from. I know that Shrikanta Sen, he got upset, because that's how Chaitanya Bhagavat sort of comes to an end. Shrikanta Sen got upset. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen, and he went ahead to complain to Lord Chaitanya, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him this thing, don't think that Vaishnavas quarreling is a mundane thing. It's arranged by Krishna, and it's meant for Krishna's pleasure. So the Chaitanya Bhagavat starts, right, ends off the final pastimes. But, that doesn't mean that we can go around kicking devotees in the chest.
Was that before you said final pastimes?
That when Shrikanta Sen got upset that Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen, then he went ahead and complained to Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya said the same thing. Krishna arranges, this is his pastime, don't get involved in disagreements amongst Vaishnavas. It wasn't even an issue of finding fault, it was just don't get involved when you see Vaishnavas having a disagreement. And if it's Lord Nityananda kicking someone else come kicking a devotee, you don't just not get involved. You say, well, all right, you may be upset that you didn't get your lunch, but that's not the way to treat a Vaishnava. Don't just say, must be some leela going on, you should just leave it alone.
Could be,
but the other thing could be that when you see Vaishnava Aparad taking place and you don't say something, then you become implicated.
The whole story of Lord Shiva and Daksha illustrates that very clearly.
Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we continue with.
Yeah, this was good. I was really...
This last, what he brought up, you mean, or the whole thing?
The whole thing. To put Krishna's lips. This is really...
Adharamrit. I love these beautiful things when Lord Chaitanya asks for a verse and then he starts elaborating and there's this nice meter that we're familiar with, and it just... It starts going deep, deep into something, because he goes deep. These are like songs we could be singing. I mean, one read them and the other is, you know, could be chanting them. Dramatic reading.
You know what's really good with dramatic readings? I don't know if you've heard them before. Jagatarini. You ever heard them?
Jagatarini?
Yeah.
Heard? No.
She does it for this. I was listening, Madhavananda has some. She really does some work, and she takes Leela and she stitches it together, adding, you know, because that's what she was before. She was an actress. You know, she does these dramatic readings. They're really good. I forgot that's one I wanted to get from Honey Prue. She was supposed to give them to me. I'll get them. I have some of them I download from the VA at she's site. But there's more of them, the ones that I was listening with Madhavananda, they're not there, so I want to get them from Honey Prue. Really good. Really good.
I'm going to go back. I'm starting not to feel good. Tomorrow, we'll continue.
Actually.